So, what I would like to ask you to do today is all of the mothers, you're a mother. Now, that doesn't mean just a biological mother. It could be an adoptive mother, stepmother, a mother of animals, four-leggeds, two-leggeds. It could be any kind of a mothering, nurturing, you know, even if you were a stand-in mom for someone. You know, would you please stand and let us honor you? Now, I would love all the grandmothers to stay standing. Wow, look at them all. Now, do we have any great grandmothers? Oh, my goodness, look. I think this is a record for any church I've been in. Now, okay, any great, great grandmothers? Okay, no. I think that's a record for any church I've been in, that many great grandmothers. I'm impressed. That's wonderful, wonderful. Now, happy Mother's Day. We want to wish and extend to each and every mother today a very, very happy Mother's Day. Now I want to ask you, anybody who has ever had a mother, would you please raise your hand? Good, good. Now, there's a hand or two didn't go up. I'd like to maybe talk to you after the service. But all of us have that one thing in common. We all have a mother, so we have somebody to celebrate today. So we all have that one thing in common. But mothers give to us 365 days a year, so it's fitting that we have one day that we have to recognize the amazing gifts of these women and all that they have given to us throughout our lives. And what I'd like to do in honor of Mother's Day is to share with you a story. And just want to let you know how I got this story. My mom passed away about 5 years ago, and as my sister and I were going through her things, I found this folder of stories that she had cut out of magazines and newspapers. And as a minister, I mean, I love stacks of stories, you know, because I love to have that repertoire to go through. And so I was looking through this stack of stories, and the one that I want to share with you today came from that, is one of hers. So I know it had meaning to her because she cut it out and saved it. And it's an Irma Bombeck column. You know, and this one is called When God Created Mothers. When the good Lord was creating mothers, he was into his sixth day of overtime. When the angel appeared and said, "You're doing a lot of fiddling around on this one." And the Lord said, "Well, have you read the specs on this order? She has to be completely washable, but not plastic. Have 180 movable parts, all replaceable. Run on black coffee and leftovers. Have a lap that disappears when she stands up. A kiss that can cure anything from a broken leg to a disappointed love affair, and 6 pairs of hands." The angel shook her head and said, "6 pairs of hands? No way! It's not the hands that are causing me the problem," said the Lord. "It's the 3 pairs of eyes that mothers have to have." "That's on the standard model?" asked the angel. The Lord nodded. "One pair that sees through closed doors when she asks, 'What are you kids doing in there?' when she already knows. Another here in the back of her head that sees when she shouldn't, but what she has to know. And, of course, one's here in the front that can look at a child when he goofs up and say, 'I understand and I love you,' without so much as uttering a word." "Lord," the angel said, touching his sleeve gently, "come to bed tomorrow." I can't, said the Lord. "I'm so close to creating something so close to myself. Already I have one who heals herself when she is sick, can feed a family of 6 on 1 pound of hamburger, and can get a 9-year-old to stand under a shower." The angel circled the model of the mother very slowly. "It's too soft," she sighed. "But tough," said the Lord excitedly. "You cannot imagine what this mother can do and endure." "Can it think?" "Not only think, but it can reason and compromise," said the Creator. Finally, the angel bent over and ran her finger across the cheek. "But there's a leak," she pronounced. "I told you, you're trying to put too much into this model." "It's not a leak," said the Lord. "It's a tear." "What's it for?" "It's for sadness, disappointment, pain, loneliness, and joy." "You are a genius," said the angel. The Lord looked somber. "I didn't put it there. I didn't put it there." So moms are special people, aren't they? And, you know, we don't often acknowledge our feelings for our mothers. And so we have this one special day once a year that we get to honor them. And it's today, and it's Mother's Day. And so we are here giving, you know, giving our love and tribute to our mothers. But did you know that we spend $676 million on greeting cards for Mother's Day? Hallmark estimates that 150 million Mother's Day cards will be sent. $7 billion are spent this weekend on presents and taking mom out to dinner. 60 million roses are given, not counting orchids and potted plants. And only on Christmas Day do we make more phone calls than we will make today. Sorry, dads. It's wonderful that we have one day to show our love for our mothers and to express our gratitude for their loving presence in our life. But really, we should be doing it 365 days a year, don't you think? Yeah, not just one day. But today on Mother's Day, I want to talk about how important love is, not only for our moms, but for all of us. For all of us, you know. And I want to be real clear that it's important to tell your moms how much you care about her and to tell her that you love her many, many times. She needs to hear those words. They really do. They need to hear that from us. Charles Fillmore, co-founder of Unity, along with his wife Myrtle. Charles metaphysically, and that's how we look at the Bible in Unity, metaphysically. He said, metaphysically, the Holy Spirit is the divine feminine. It's that mother aspect of God. Don't you love that? It's the comforter. You know, and the Holy Spirit is what Jesus said, you know, Jesus said, the comforter will come to you and be with you forever. And so I love it that the Holy Spirit is that divine feminine, that mother aspect of God. It's the comforter that is with us always. And Charles and Myrtle also said that Mary, metaphysically, the mother of Jesus, represents in us the divine mother. And it's within us. That divine mother is within each one of us. And it's birthing the Christ within. It's birthing that divine child within us. It's bringing forth that spiritual nature within us. And so it's very fitting that, you know, on Mother's Day we talk about this nurturing, feminine, loving aspect that is birthing the Christ presence within each one of us. And I mean, mothers have that special ability, don't they, of looking beyond appearances and seeing that special something, that Christ within, that divine possibility, that infinite potential within us, especially when we can't see it ourselves. You know, they cheer us on. You know, and they're, you know, to a mother, through a mother's eyes, her child can do no wrong. Just look at the beautiful story of in the Bible of the wedding of Cana. You know, they were out of wine. And Mary knew that it would be an incredible insult to the family if they ran out of wine in the middle of this big celebration. And so she looks at Jesus. She knows what Jesus can do. And all she says to him is, "They're out of wine." And Jesus immediately says, "Well, what is that to you and what is that to me? My time has not come yet." But see, Mary, somehow in her heart of hearts, knew he was already ready, knew that he could do this. And so she looked beyond the outer appearance And she saw that special something within him. And don't you wonder if Jesus was at home kind of practicing turning wine, water into wine? Kind of a neat talent to have, you know. But how did Mary know he could do that? Yeah, just a little aside. I don't know if you've heard the three arguments about why we definitely know Jesus is Jewish. The first one is that he went into his father's business. The second, that is, that he lived at home until he was 33. But I love the third one, is Jesus was sure that his mother was a virgin, and his mother was sure that he was God. But a little joke you can tell at Easter lunch today, but but you know, Mary knew. Mary absolutely knew. She just knew he could solve the problem. You know, that's what love does. I mean, love looks beyond the appearance, and love is what Jesus taught throughout his entire ministry. You know, the minute all the time he walked on this earthly plane, he taught love. Jesus tapped into that love energy. And Charles Fillmore wrote about that in Revealing Word, which is our Unity Dictionary of Metaphysical Terms. What he wrote about love was that it's a force that binds together the entire human family. Isn't that beautiful? A force that binds together this whole human family. And so he recognized that love is not just the emotional feeling that we feel between a parent and a child. It's so much more than that. You know, it is a power. He said it's one of our 12 powers. It's one of our 12 faculties of mind. And he believed so strongly in the power of love and this harmonize. He called it the harmonizing power. He said that human beings call it by a different name, gravity. Gravity, that force that binds together the entire human family. And so Charles Fillmore had a very deep understanding of love. He celebrated the love between a mother and a child as the highest form of our present understanding of the feeling that we have. But it's so much more than that. That's just the tip of the iceberg, so to speak, of the power and the magnitude of God's love. And so Charles Fillmore, he knew that love was this power, this quality that is within us. And it's not just simply the rushing feelings of, you know, between two people that are falling in love. And it's not just the feeling that a parent has for a child. It's so much more than that. He literally called it the glue that holds the entire universe together. The harmonizing factor, a force that binds the whole human family together, and it's a glue that holds the entire universe together. Isn't that beautiful? That's what love does. Now, can you imagine Jesus going to Joseph saying, "Hey, Dad, you know, I want to be the savior of the world." And Joseph says, "Right. What kind of benefits does the job have?" But then can you just picture Jesus going to Mary and going, "Ma, I want to tell you about this deep longing in my heart. I want to tell you about this calling that I have." And Mary, with her eyes aglow and her heart overflowing with love, says, "Honey, I know you can do it. That's great. I'm there for you. I support you." That's what love does. Love calls us into a higher and more open place of being in the world. And I know that's what I really loved and honored most about my mom, was that she didn't always agree with where I was going in my life or where I mean, she was just like, "You want to be a minister?" You know, she kind of, that wasn't on my list when I was growing up. But, I mean, things that I did, she sometimes didn't quite understand the direction my life was going in. But afterwards, she would come to me and say, "I am so proud of you." And I remember when she came to church, every time she'd come to church, she would afterwards say, "I'm so proud of you for what you've accomplished." You know, that's what love does. You know, and that's what I will cherish and love about my mom. And I'll remember that forever, those moments when she told me, you know, "Good job. Good job." Yeah, we don't need that affirmation, but it sure is nice, isn't it, to get that kind of thumbs up. So The Quest, which is Unity's book of metaphysical principles, it's written by Mary Alice and Richard Jafola. They define love this way, and I think it's beautiful. They say, love is a divine activity. It is a cosmic force, a spiritual gift. Love is God's energy. Don't you love that? Love is God's energy. They also then go on to say, and when we let this love, that is God's energy, God direct us, we let God direct us, because love and God is the same thing. And when we let God direct us, we become part of the divine energy of God. And so we need to let our mothers know that we love them, don't we? You know, we need to send them a love letter every so often. You know, it's not only good for them, it's good for us, because it allows us to become part of this divine energy of God. And so, you know, you don't have to wait until, you know, whether your mother is sitting with you today or you're going to be seeing her later this afternoon, you know, you don't have to wait. You know, you can pick up the phone and call her. You know, you can email, or what a novel idea, maybe even write a real letter. You can send a card, send a gift, send flowers. And you don't just have to do it on Mother's Day. And you don't have to just do it on her birthday. Pick a day at random, for no reason at all, just because. And send her a note saying, you know, I love you, just because you're you. No special reason, but just, I mean, how wonderful would that be to get those kind of little notes at random? And those of us who, our mothers are no longer on this earthly plane, doesn't matter. We can still call them up in our memory, as Bill had us do during the meditation, and we can still honor them. We can still be grateful for their presence in our life, because they're always with us. Their spirit's always with us, and they're always guiding us. They're offering guidance whenever we ask. It's always there. So whether they're physically here or not, today is their day. And so I want to end with this little essay. It's called Somebody Said. Somebody said a mother is an unskilled laborer. Well, somebody never gave a squirmy infant a bath. Somebody said you know how to be a mother by instinct. Well, somebody never took a 3-year-old grocery shopping. Somebody said that good mothers never yell at their children. Well, somebody's child never sent a baseball through a neighbor's picture window. Somebody said that a mother can find all the answers to her child-rearing questions in books. Well, somebody never had a child stuff beans in his nose. The visual one. Somebody said that a mother can do her job with her eyes closed and one hand tied behind her back. Well, somebody never organized 7 giggling brownies into a cookie-selling brigade. And I love this one. Somebody said the hardest part of being a mother is labor and delivery. Somebody never watched her baby get on the bus for the first day of kindergarten. Somebody said your mother knows you love her, so you don't have to tell her. Somebody isn't a mother. And so too often we don't tell our moms that we love them. We just somehow magically think that they know it. Well, you still have a chance to tell your mom how you feel about her. You know, the day isn't over yet, even if they're living on the East Coast. So today is your day, Mom. I love you. And so today, tell your mom, I love you. Happy Mother's Day. God bless.